There's great escapes out there in our state and region, and one of them, I think, is the New Hampshire League of Craftsmen and the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. And, you know, a lot of people may make stuff. They may be artists. Might be jewelry. Might be something you're really talented at. I got a son-in-law that can make some incredible, like, leather cases and briefcases and pocketbooks and wallets, and could be pottery, could be a lot of things, making artwork out of moose antlers. I mean, there's incredible talent out there. And Miriam Carter is the executive director of the New Hampshire League of Craftsmen. She's in our building and studios this morning, nice enough to give us an update. There's a great event coming up this weekend, and she's here to tell us all about an update on the great league. Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning, Jack, and thanks for having me. It's great to be with you again. And we're really excited because this weekend we're opening up what is normally a biennial event. We have it every 2 years, but because of COVID, we haven't had it in four. And it's called Continuing the Tradition. It's a show that celebrates our newest juried members. And it runs for 3 months, but the first 3 days of the show, we partner with a Concord Garden Club to produce art in bloom. So floral designers come on over to the league and they look at the craft that's on display in the exhibition, pick a piece, and then do a complimentary floral display as a partnership between the two almost. And it's just a wonderful event that brings spring to the league in the midst of all the snow.
Well, you know, yes, and I think... Of course, I think it's medicinal. I think it's a form of meditation. If you're a craftsperson and you can do all these things and sit there in your happy zone. Now, I know sometimes art can be a torment. I've written some novels in my life in the past, and I can tell you it was a very arduous, painful experience sometimes to get lost in your own writing. But it's a wonderful gift, and there are musicians out there, but artists, and to make something with your hands. So, how can people, what's the process of becoming a member of the league? Because that's something that a lot of people may not know.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we have a jurying process. So we have basically, let's say a potter wants to bring their work to the league and they want to become a member. They would need to meet with our jurors, who are all master craftsmen in that particular field of craft. And they would have a conversation, show their body of work. They would be asked about their technical expertise. And a big part of what we do is what we call the spirit of the maker, which is really having your own voice as an artist. We don't want people who are creating derivative work from other artists. We want original work. And if you get through that process successfully, then you're invited to become a member of the organization and enjoy the benefits. But if you don't happen to make it in right away, we don't ask people to go away. We ask them to come back. We defer them. And we work hard to line them up with one of those master artists in their skill set to teach them what they need to improve upon. And that builds a nice relationship between artist to artist. And then, of course, we hopefully then will see the applicant back for a second round and get them in.
You know what I like about it, the way you describe that, Miriam Carter, League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, is it's not that it's supposed to be a wall to get in, but there is a little bit of honor to get in, a little bit of... mentorship, a little bit of acceptance. I mean, I know when I wanted to start the show, J-Dog made me go through a juring process. No, I'm kidding. but no, there is a process to become a member of the league. And I think it adds to the whole, I think it's special. That's cool.
I agree with you. And, you know, we set the standard for craft around the country. We're 90 years old, actually 91 years old this year. We're about to have our 90th fair this summer. And we set the standard for craft a long time ago, and we want to continue doing that in the future as well.
How many locations physically, stores or shops, because I know in different parts, how many places do you have now across our state or region?
We have 7 galleries that are affiliated with the league. The one that the league itself owns is at the rest area on Hooksett, Route 93, at the big rest area there.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you had one there.
Yeah, small gallery. And then the other galleries are throughout the state. They're in Nashua, Meredith, North Conway, Sandwich, and Littleton. And those are all sometimes owned by artists, and they have the benefit of working with our membership.
Well, I bet you people wanting to grab a piece of the 603. I bet you that one at the, how does the one that hooks at the rest stop? That must do well per capita.
They do very well. It's a very small space, and we have a great team that makes it work, but we sell a lot of craft out there. And then that feeds people to the other galleries throughout the state. They know from that experience there's other places to go.
Awesome. I don't know if I ever asked this before I let you go, because now you have other stuff to do in the building. How did you ever, Miriam Carter, what was your original, how did you get your entry, whether it was a juring process or not, to get in to be, how many years, and what was your impetus or seed to get in?
So to the organization and to craft itself?
Both.
okay, so I just happened to spend time with my dad, who was actually waiting for a heart transplant, and we explored our family history. And we had a great uncle. I had a great uncle who brought felt making to this country in the late 1800s.
Brought it's felt making?
Making, correct.
Yep, yep.
So he did it for the pianos, because within a piano you have felt. Mm-hmm. That just brought me into an opportunity to learn about felt with my dad. He said, what do you want to make? I said, I can't find a hat to fit my head. And off we went. And I had a career for over 25 years selling craft around the country. And then I was sitting on the board of the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen when we didn't have an executive director in place. And I just literally threw my hat in, no pun intended, and said, hey, let me be the interim. And then it quickly turned into a full-time position. And on the 17th of January, that was my anniversary. Been there 6 years.
Where are you from originally?
Dublin, New Hampshire.
Oh, you're from here?
Yep.
Cool. That's it. You know what? That fits a little bit, not to say anything about Dublin, because I always love that that pocket there, because I used to go out to Peterborough more. And when you go, there's one spot in Dublin when you kind of come through that little town, there's a general store on the right.
Yep.
And then, of course, you get a view of the lake and then Monadnock. And there's one little stretch there. It's just beautiful there, Dublin.
Yeah, it is. It's a sweet town.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, thank you. And if people want to learn about this weekend or becoming a member of the league, best way is how?
Go to nhcrafts.org. All of the information is at nhcrafts.org.
Miriam, thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you, Jack. Have a
J-Dog,
great day.
J-Dog, you're lucky because you're hatless this year because you're Cleveland Guardians, but maybe she'll bring you a felt Cleveland Guardians hat.
Ooh. A felt hat. There you go. By the way, before you go, Miriam, the 2018 Major League Baseball All-Star Game was in Washington, D.C., right?
Mm-hmm.
And the hats that they made were custom to each team because they were trying to make a theme.
Yeah.
The logo of the patch on the hat was made of felt.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
And only J-Dog would know that.
No. New Era, they describe in detail what it is, because I was wondering I had never felt like that before. So, because usually what they do is they have liquid chrome on the side as a patch.
Yeah.
But they decided in 2018 for some reason to just make it felt. I don't know if it's a Washington thing. I don't know what it is.
There's a lot of felt makers in Washington, but it sounds like they upped their game.
Yeah,
well,
there you go.
Do you still make any hats, seriously?
I do, yeah. I have a nice studio at my house, and I've just gotten back into it. And I had missed making it, so this past year I started making it again just for fun.
You know what? Only because we have a minute, and I don't know why. It's a good escape. But, you know, it's interesting because I don't know what the material of what I'd call a fedora. But you look back in our generations of men and women and the cool, cool hats they would wear. Very stylish. You know, I can read whether it was a Stetson or a fedora. Was that felt?
Could have been. You know, you can make felt hats, you can make straw hats. And
the ones that were more like what I'd call, like, my grandfather wore, like, a fedora.
Yeah, that was a wool felt hat.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
and women and stylish stuff and cool stuff.
So Tom Landry was wearing felt all this time when he had the fedora with the Dallas Cowboys.
He wore a
fedora on the sidelines.
Remember? Remember he wore a suit and tie?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? All right, listen, thank you, Mary. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.